From coast to coast across America, it's the U.S. Property Podcast with the latest real estate news, interviews, and market trends.
Hey, welcome back to the U.S. Property Podcast from coast to coast across America with the latest real estate property news, trends, and also predictions available to you for 2024 and on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, or of course wherever you get your podcasts from. There are plenty of locations to do that. And we are catching up this morning once again with Claire Buckner. She is the principal broker from Omnia Real Estate. And good morning, Claire. Welcome back to the US Property Podcast. Great to have you on.
Good morning, Greg. It's great to be back.
Now, last time we spoke, boy, we covered quite a lot. One of the things that we were talking about is the fact that you are a litigator from a previous life. But the litigation, of course, it hasn't just left you. This is something that you sort of carry into your real estate career, your business.
That's right. I do. I am the general counsel for our brokerage, and I'm also the one that everybody calls when they need to get out of hot water or are concerned that they could fall into hot water, the latter being my preference, of course. So, you know, every day is different. You just never know what questions you're going to get on the other end of the phone.
Well, it's a little bit like me this morning. You're not going to know what the questions are, but here we go. Now, I want to talk about the first home buyers. Now, last year, it was really a bit of a shifting goalpost. Things were changing, and they are in the lower market by the sheer nature of being a first home buyer. But the problem is that there's not a lot of inventory. I want you to talk to that about your market, the lack of inventory. Of course, the back end of it is that it's incredibly competitive, isn't it, as a result?
It really is. You know, it's a great question. It's tough to be a first-time home buyer right now because you're scared. You've never done this before. It's intimidating. You know, money is typically tight. You've got to get the best deal you can. And unfortunately, inventory is so low. You are really duking it out with everybody else that's similarly situated to you. Not only are you undertaking this daunting task to buy your first house, you're doing it in likely a multi-offer situation, which means all of those wonderful protections that you have, particularly in Maryland and DC, you have to kind of voluntarily give up. Oftentimes you have to forego a home inspection. Hopefully the listing agent will allow you to do a pre-inspection. That is a quick cursory look at the house with a licensed home inspector before you place your offer. So you at least have kind of a general health report of the house that you're buying and not going to be able to inspect in detail. You're going to have a pre-approval letter. All your financing needs to be set up. You may be settling more quickly than is otherwise comfortable. All of these things that you're trying to do to make yourself more attractive. And here you are, never having done this before. My best advice for first-time homebuyers, frankly, is get a really good buyer's agent, someone who is going to be your mother hen and take care of you and try to ward off as much pitfalls as possible.
Yes, it's a good one to mention because a lot of first home buyers, in fact, most first home buyers don't even think, it doesn't even cross their mind to use a buyer's agent. But that often can be the difference between securing a property and not, which leads me on to this next question. So buyer's agent is a good one for first home buyers if you can squeeze the finance, but people need to be finance ready. They need to have a whole bunch of things ready to go. Unfortunately, because they are first home buyers, sometimes this is a bit of a grey area, isn't it, Claire? They sort of just lack the absolute due diligence in being prepared.
You are 100% right. And it's even worse than that, because oftentimes these first-time home buyers are younger. They're being advised by their parents. And, you know, their parents bought their last house 20 years ago. And it is a much different process than what it used to be. I always make a point with my first-time home buyers. I love them. They're one of my favorite sectors of clients, because you can really prepare them for their real estate journey for their entire lives if you educate them well. And one of the things I do is I meet with them before we even go looking at houses, and I kind of give them the lay of the land of what to expect. And one of the things I tell them is, you know, being pre-approved, first and foremost, use a local lender. If you are buying a property in the DC metro area, listing agents don't want to see a national bank. They want to see local lenders, because they tend to be more flexible and get deals done more timely. And the other thing I tell them is the pre-approval or the loan approval process now is very, very invasive. Don't take it personally. It's going to feel personal at some point, because they are going to peck you to death asking you for this piece of paper and that piece of paper and this piece of paper. It's nothing personal. It is how it's done these days. And you have to just commit to the process and roll with it. And just keep your eye on the prize of the day you get to move your stuff in under your new roof.
And just coming back to the inventory, and, you know, this is obviously a problem for first home buyers. When do you think in your area there that the market might open up in terms of that inventory for 2024?
I'm a little more optimistic than some folks. Some folks are saying the second half of 2024. I'm thinking by Q2. The DC market is very unique to almost any other area in the country. It is the seat of government. We have a ton of universities here. We have all of the ancillary professions that kind of surround government, even, you know, contracting, commercial contracting, things like that, almost recession proof. Now, I say that with a little grain of salt, of course, right? Because, you know, recessions do happen and they affect all of us, but the financial market doesn't quite affect DC the way it does other places, because the seat of government is always in demand, and it's transient. People are constantly being voted in and voted out, right? Appointed, and then they lose that appointment. So all the things that go with it, all the folks that service them, all of those professions as well, it's not nearly as affected by, you know, the general economy. I think that in this DMV, we're going to see things start to move. I mean, obviously the biggest sticking point is getting some more inventory. You know, I have plenty of buyers. They just have nothing to buy. And I think, you know, it's an election year, so there'll be changes with that. I'm saying Q2. Again, I'm an optimist, but I've already noticed a pretty significant uptick in interest from clients. So hopefully I'm right.
Yeah, well, you know, that is a great barometer, the sentiment from buyers. If they are feeling a little bit more motivated, your optimism is meeting that positive sentiment. And just on that, 2024, there's a lot of doomsdayers out there at the moment saying, oh no, this market is going to crash, this and that. Look out, 2024 is going to be a bad year. What do you say to that, being an optimist?
I just don't think that's true. I think we've actually weathered the worst of it. I mean, look, the feds have already said they're not going to be increasing rates. That's great. That gives enough of a relief to the mortgage market. You know, they're breathing a sigh of relief that at least the punishment's going to stop. I don't see a crash coming.
So there you go. You've heard it from Claire this morning. And talking of cutting, looking at DMV Real Estate Association's memberships, this is an interesting one because I think it's down over 40%. Tell us about that.
Yes, some of the local real estate associations have had a tremendous drop-off in new membership and renewed memberships. And And speaking as someone who's been a principal broker in this business for more than 11 years, I will tell you, I welcome it. Now, it's not great for the associations, right? Because they look forward to all of that income, but it's good for the industry. I think in 2020, we had a lot of folks get their licenses and jump into this market just to make a quick buck. That's fine and well, except for it's not good for the industry as a whole, because they're not committed to the craft of real estate, learning, staying on top of trends and laws and regulations. They're really just, you know, part-timers trying to, you know, get a little cream off the top, if you will. So I think what this does is this downward trend in renewals and new memberships for these local associations tells you that because the market is cooled, all the folks that were just in it for the quick dollar are leaving, which means what you are left with are the full-time professional agents that this is, you know, this is their craft, this is their profession. So I think you're going to get a better quality of representation generally for the public now that, the market cooled off. One of the silver linings, if you will, to the down market.
And before I let you go this morning, Claire, I want to talk about a really serious subject. Actually, maybe it's not that serious, but it is something that you've got to be very highly skilled at, and that is that you are an accomplished fire eater. What's going on with this?
Okay, Craig, I have a confession to make. I am not a fire eater. What I did was I wrote my bio so that I put that I was a bear tamer and a fire eater at the very end of my bio. And I do that. It's an Easter egg, if you will. I do it because I want to see who has read my whole bio. I have people that I would interview and they'll say, I read your bio. But the truth of the matter is they didn't, because if they did, they always mention it. And you know what's funny? And kudos to you, by the way, I can count on my two hands the number of people that have read that last sentence of my bio, and you're one of them.
Well, it's due diligence, right? It's like buying a property. You got to have great due diligence. If we're running an interview, we've got to know who, especially me, I've got to know who I'm talking to. How disappointing, though. But I get it. I understand why you did it. And that is quite clever of you to do that, and just to hear the BS from some people. Oh, yeah, I read the entirety of your bio.
That's right. It's just a little gotcha.
It is. Yeah, well, I'm glad you didn't get me. And on that note, we will let you get on with your real estate day. Thanks once again for coming on to the US Property Podcast.
Always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
While we can't predict the future of the real estate market, we can provide you with insights on what's currently trending. It's powerful information at your fingertips on the US Property Podcast.
I can honestly say that Tampa is, I think, the best city in the entire state. We have beaches, you know, in downtown Tampa. We have the Tampa Bay Lightning. We have the Strata Center, which has Broadway plays come through. We have a cruise terminal. Tampa International Airport is one of the easiest airports to fly in and out of. It's just a very easy city that has all of the big city desires as far as sports teams, as far as entertainment.
And the median house price, I think that is sitting around the 500K mark?
Yep, for a single family home, you know, and there's a lot of different areas in Tampa, so you can obviously very easily get into the multi-million dollar range. You know, within 30 minutes driving distance of downtown Tampa, you can also be in the 300s, even 200s. So it has a little bit of everything, no matter what you're looking for.
From powerful and up-to-date news to professional real estate experts with the latest property trends, know your property with the U.S. Property Podcast.